Hey Trailblazers, welcome back to the Business Casual Podcast. If you're new here, thank you so much for joining us this week and tuning into our episode. And if you're coming back for a second, third, fourth episode, thanks so much for being here. My name is Stacey and I am the co-founder and host of the Business Casual. And you pressed play on a really great episode. We are talking to a portfolio manager today, diving into a world that I don't know much about, to be quite honest with you. Portfolio management is not a career that I ever explored or wanted to be in, but after hearing this conversation, it is really interesting. So this week we are talking with Catherine with over 25 years of experience in her field, holding both her Chartered Investment Manager, CIM designation, and insurance license. Catherine has built an exceptional level of expertise and confidence in the investment industry. Catherine is most commended for her matchless expertise in assisting clients who have undergone a major life event and require a high level of personal service and sophisticated guidance, such as divorce, death, or selling of a business. Through her sound investment discipline and unwavering devotion to learning and understanding each of her clients' unique stories and needs, Catherine continues to lead her exclusive clientele to achieving all their financial goals. Catherine is such a refreshing ball of energy. She's been in the industry for 27 years and has so much advice and expertise to share with you today. So I hope you enjoyed today's episode. If you do, be sure to leave us a 5-star rating and review on either Apple Podcasts or Spotify. And be sure to be following us on Instagram if you're not already. You can find us at business.casual.podcast. Enjoy. Hey, Trailblazers, welcome back to the Business Casual Podcast. You just heard in the intro a little bit of an insight into who our guest is today. So I'm so excited to introduce you to Catherine. Hi, Catherine. How are you today?
Hi, I'm great. I'm so excited to be here.
I'm so glad you're here too. We had a little bit of technical difficulties getting on, but we're on the air now. So we're ready for a great conversation. Also, I have to give a shout out to my friend Alexandra, who actually put me in contact with Catherine. Alex and I went to high school together and has always been super supportive of all of my ventures. And we did quite a few of our own ventures and entrepreneurial things in high school together. So a little bit of a full circle moment. So I had to give her a shout out.
That's super cool. Yeah, no, she's amazing.
Yeah. So welcome to the Business Casual. We're so excited to chat more today about your career. But before we get into that, we got to ask our icebreaker question to get to know you, break the ice, get into that personal level. So what is your zodiac sign and do you believe in astrology? That is today's icebreaker question.
So I do know my astrology sign is a Libra. I don't know a lot about it. I do know that it's the balance symbol. And I do know personally that when I get out of balance, it's really, really bad. So I do believe there's for sure something there. But I'm not as knowledgeable as some others would be, but I think it's super cool. And I definitely need to be in balance as a person.
Okay. That's good. Yeah. Balance is a good thing. So are you very into routines also? Are you very a routine person?
No, I'm not. I would say professionally and personally, you're totally different. So personally, I would say I do have my own sort of routines, but professionally, I mean, I have a structure, but every day is so different in my job that it's harder to have a routine, basically.
Yeah.
So I don't have to have a routine though. I kind of like not having a routine.
That's very good. And obviously we want to hear all about your day-to-day life and your career. So, I mean, the first question I want to ask is just giving a bit of an intro in what it actually means to be a portfolio manager and what that title comes with and maybe what some of your favorite aspects are of your job and your role right now.
Yeah. So a portfolio manager traditionally used to just manage clients' money, and it generally meant your investment portfolio. So we were the people that picked the stocks and the asset allocation, and we were the investment managers. So handling only that aspect. But now portfolio management has evolved so far, and it really is all encompassing in terms of wealth management, estate planning and tax planning and charitable giving. And so I try and bring all of those aspects into every element with my clients always. And it's certainly, you're managing clients, but you're building your own book of business. So no one gives me my clients. I have to go find them. So it's a hunt and gathering kind of way of building your own business as well.
Would you say it's a little bit more, you know, your day-to-day is like less structured? It's up to you of how you want to structure your day and who exactly you want to talk to that day or what your meetings are going to look like. Because I think sometimes when people look at companies like RBC, for example, or BMO, they think it is very structured and your role, and I'm sure there are roles in the company that are, but I'm sure there are also roles that maybe aren't as structured.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, at Dominion Securities, which is the wealth management company of RBC, my business is my business. Like, and mm-hmm. so, you know, I might have a plan for the day of what I'm going to do and who I'm going to contact. And, you know, the Fed might make an announcement in the middle of the day and just it throws everything up in the air and everything changes. And you just sort of have to roll with it and call clients or make an adjustment or something happens, you know, somebody reports earnings and they blow them up. And so you're changing your positions in your portfolios. And sometimes you have to speak to the client and sometimes you don't. So, and you're, you know, every day is marketing. Every day is hunting. Every day is portfolio management or reading or finding out, you know, what's happening, you know, globally, because the geopolitical world now affects us on a day-to-day basis, including the
stock market.
So there's so many other variables that you always have to sort of, whether you know completely about, but you always have to have some insight into. So yeah, days can change. There are days where I'm like, okay, today I'm going to, and it never happens. It never happens.
And are you a remote worker or are you working in the office? What does your structure currently look like?
So I have always, I have three kids that are now in university. And so my mode of operandi has always been a lot, like have the ability to work remotely just in case somebody got sick or doctor's appointments or whatever, because that's what happens when you have kids. So the whole pandemic actually didn't change how I really worked. And I'm a little bit different in that I usually go to my clients' personal spaces when I'm meeting with them, as opposed to making them, you know, come downtown and park and, you know, park for, you know, really expensive amounts of money and in the path and get lost and that kind of stuff. So, and I always have a better connection with my clients or with a prospective client if I do go to their space. So I haven't really changed how I worked at all. And so, you know, some days I'm in the office from 8 o'clock in the morning till 7 o'clock at night. And some days I'm not in the office at all. And sometimes, you know, I'm traveling with laptop. So I've always had that accessibility. And it's been key to, you know, me being able to raise my family too. So it's been really important.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I think it's really also, I haven't heard of a lot of people who were always kind of hybrid or remote. I think it was something that has now been a very, very, very popular topic of conversation. But, and I think it's still, people are kind of on the fence and a lot of companies are going back and forth of what to do. I'm at a company right now where it is flex work. So we are in the office 3 days a week, 2 days at home. But some days, you know, people are at home for the whole week or 2 weeks. I think it just really depends. But it is interesting and people definitely have their own ways of working that might be conducive to different styles. So I always like asking that question just to hear different perspectives because it's interesting.
Yeah, it's interesting how it sort of changed when it happened because it didn't really change. I mean, for me, my biggest challenge was when everybody came home because all of a sudden my kids were, you know, doing Zoom university and,
yeah,
you know, actually, it was actually a strain on the Wi-Fi. Like, you know, I was like, I'm trying to do a trade. So it was really tricky from that perspective. But in terms of the actual, my day-to-day really hasn't changed. And now it's kind of nice to see other people realize that, you know, it is completely doable. And I think it opens up a lot of doors, especially for women in the hybrid state, because, you know, reality is our physical being, we're the ones that have the babies, like that's
yeah.
just a thing. So you can work remotely if you need to.
Yeah, and there's so many things I want to touch on that you were just mentioning. I think the first thing I want to talk about is kind of the client relation side and the relationships that you build, because I would just be interested to know, you know, maybe some skills that you've gained throughout your career that have helped with the client relationship, because it's not an easy thing. I think it's really difficult from what I've seen so far, again, being in a marketing role, but like watching sales interact. And obviously I think sales has in traditional CPG has a very distinct, I want to say persona that comes with being in sales, but then being on the client relationship side, your part of you has to sell what you're providing to that person. But then also it's really about like building that relationship and understanding who they are. So I just like love to hear your perspective on kind of some skills that you've gained or like how you've navigated that throughout your career from like the relationship perspective.
Yeah, I mean, building a client, because I do have to build my own client base. So there was definitely that salesy role that to you know, attract clients. But to me right now, and I mean, I've been doing it for so long. I mean, I've been in this business for 27 years. So the reality is, like, the connection, the human connection, is so important to me. And it really actually means it can actually take a whole on a whole other level. Like, I have clients that literally, because they've been clients for so long, I know their families, like, intimately. Like, I really know a lot of details about their family. And you know, which kid is trouble, which kid isn't, you know, who's doing what, their health, their marriages, their, like, I get to know a lot of really intimate details. So the connection actually to me is the most powerful place. Mm-hmm. And it's one of the things that I'm really most proud of, because it's actually very, very special that I'm allowed into this, you know, this little intimate bubble in these families or these corporate, you know, and whether it be a family that has a family business or, I mean, and money is such a personal thing that, but I get to go a little bit deeper than just the money. So
yeah,
it's a totally different dynamic, which is really, really special.
And how has that dynamic changed in the last 2-3 years? I know you mentioned earlier with, like, geopolitical events that have occurred that are impacting the whole world, but especially here in Canada. So how has that relationship changed, and how do you stay on top of everything that's happening in the market to make sure that you're aware and up to date and up to speed and, like, making the most informed decisions at all times?
Yeah, some people, this might be a turnoff for some people, but I really do have to pay attention to what's going on, you know, before I go to bed at night, and I try and, you know, do the non-tech, you know, the hour before you go to bed, but I'll check to see what's happening overseas, and I'll check to see, you know, what my day possibly is going to look like tomorrow, or which companies are reporting that week, and that kind of stuff. But you do have to sort of always, I mean, we have such amazing systems, and the news, especially, I mean, the internet apps. I mean, I have, there's apps that I'll go to and that'll get a flash if something's happening, or you just have to sort of stay interested, and you have to be one of those people, I think, that thrives on the knowledge of knowing a whole bunch of different things. And, you know, I'm not going to pretend that I have, you know, any deep understanding of some of the geopolitical risk, but I do have to know I have to know the basics, and I have to know how it's affecting the market. I mean, what my mom used to say, oh, unless it hits the Wall Street Journal, she has no idea what's happening in the world. And it's because my world really evolves around the market and my clients. So, you know, I might not know about the latest tornado, but if the tornado is going to affect the wheat prices and energy prices, because it's going to take out oil rigs in the Gulf, then I'll know about it. So it's kind of a weird, you have to be an information gatherer and like to know about a whole bunch of different things, because it will influence how I look at stuff.
Now, a quick break to hear from this week's sponsor. Our next partner is a product I literally use every single day. I started taking Athletic Greens a little less than a month ago for so many reasons. The two main ones being, one, working in an office versus working at home means I do not have time to get to the gym anymore. And two, now that we don't have COVID and we don't have lockdowns, I feel like there's so much going on all the time, and I've really just put my health on the back burner for the last few months. So when I kept seeing Athletic Greens ads on my Instagram feed and hearing about it on podcasts, I knew I had to try it. So what is it? Well, with one delicious scoop of AG1, you're absorbing 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food-sourced ingredients, probiotics, and adaptogens to help start your day right. This special blend of ingredients supports your gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, your energy, recovery, focus, and aging. Literally all the things you can think of. It contains less than 1 gram of sugar, no GMOs, no nasty chemicals or artificial anything, while still tasting good. I fill up my AG water bottle with ice, water, and one scoop every single morning, and I drink it on my commute to work. So I know that when I show up to work, I have everything I need to start my day off right, and I am armed with all of the good vitamins, minerals, and whole food sourced ingredients. It also only costs less than $3 a day. So you are investing in your health, and it is literally cheaper than your cold brew habit. Athletic Greens has over 7,000 five-star reviews and is recommended by professional athletes. Right now, it's your time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition. It's just one scoop in a cup of water every day. That's it. No need for a million different pills and supplements to look out for your health. I have noticed a change in both my energy levels as well as my skin since taking AG1. I have so much more energy and don't need to rely on coffee as much as I used to. I also have always struggled with dry and uneven skin, but I've really found my skin been glowing recently, and I think it's due to AG1. So to make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free 1-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/businesscasual. Again, that is athleticgreens.com/businesscasual to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance.
And is this a career that you knew you wanted to pursue when you were in school? Or is it just you had the skills and you were interested in, you know, wealth management and finance, so you kind of found it?
Yeah. So I did a BCom at school, and in between third and fourth year, I did a placement in Toronto, and I fell in love with this business when I did my placement. As soon as I did the placement, I knew there was nothing else I was going to do. And I think you have to be somewhat addicted to this business to be in it, and in a healthy addiction, but it really, I can't imagine doing anything else. Like as soon as I was exposed to it, and I was exposed to a whole bunch of different levels of it, I knew that this is what I wanted to do, and I've been doing it ever since. I literally have done nothing else other than this since I graduated.
That is always the best story to hear, though, because I think a lot of people don't get as lucky, and they have to do a lot of exploring and testing and trying before they find what they like to do. But maybe for someone that's listening, what skills or designations, or I know there's a lot of different, you know, you can get your CFA, and then there's a lot of other different, you know, there's like security courses and so much information out there and ways you can go about maybe entering the industry. But what would be like kind of your advice on what would make you successful, either wanting to pivot into portfolio management or like starting fresh in the industry?
So first and foremost, I mean, portfolio management sort of takes a while. First of all, you have to have a certain level of assets and clients even to apply, because the portfolio management designation is a regulated, like the regulators can use that designation.
See, so, I didn't even know that. So maybe you can expand a little bit more on that.
So lots of people that are portfolio managers are either a CFA, which is a chartered financial analyst, or a CIM, which is a chartered investment manager. And I'm a CIM. And you start like everybody else. The CFA wouldn't necessarily have to have the Canadian securities course, but it for sure would help you if you were starting out in this business. And CIM definitely builds up on it through the Canadian securities industry. So, but you know, you have to have years of experience. You have to practice management. You have to show your philosophy. It really is actually a regulated designation. So that part is it doesn't happen overnight, but it is certainly something that there's tons of wealth management courses and financial planning courses and a lot of steps that you have to take in order to get the designation for sure.
That's very interesting. Didn't know that. You learn something new every day. I feel like now any industry you go into, you need so much schooling, or there's all these different, I have a cousin, she's in architecture, and you have to get your undergrad, and then you have to get your master's, and then you have to get your hours to actually get the stamp. Like, I just think there's always something, but it's good. Knowledge is good, but it's definitely, you have to do a lot of research and know, because a lot of things take time, and make sure you're up to date and, you know, planning accordingly. So it's definitely a good thing to like bring awareness to.
Yeah. No, for sure. And I have students call me all the time. They're like, oh, I want to be a portfolio manager. I'm like, well, you can't just sort of graduate and become one. You do have to do a little, you know, you do have to do a bunch of exams, and you have to have some practice management. And you have to be in the industry. But it's definitely doable. And I think it's the best gig in the planet. So it's totally fun.
And so one thing I actually heard at work today, oh, not today, this week, was you got to take the good, you got to take the bad, and that's what life is. So we've talked a little bit more about the good, but I'm sure you've also faced a ton of challenges in your career. So maybe would you be able to share what some of the biggest ones have been that you've overcome so far to date in your career?
So one of the challenges, I mean, unfortunately, the glass ceiling does still exist. I would say, though, in 2022, we are a lot better off than we were in 1993. Mm-hmm. 100%. The industry itself is evolving. But one of the challenges for sure is there's a lack of women in my industry. I mean, there's only 15% of women do what I do. So in our industry, so that, and that's a terrible number. Like it really is. So to attract more females into this industry, I think would be, is a huge challenge. Cause a lot of women are intimidated by it. And, but from my perspective, you know, I actually had the freedom to, you know, because it is my own business and you're attracting your own clients, you know, I didn't miss the soccer games. I didn't have to ask anybody for permission to go to the ballet recital in the middle of the day or the spring concert or whatever. So I did have that freedom, which was amazing. And because it really is my own business when it, within or under an umbrella of another business. And that'd be, you know, a great RBC.
Yeah. And so I have a question on this idea of like, there's not enough women in the industry. From your perspective, having been in it for 27 years, do you feel at any point that you were never, you know, not respected because of your gender? Or also is it, you know, you're missing that like aspect of walking into a room and seeing other females and feeling like not supported, but that you're being represented in a room. Are there like, is there a lot of camaraderie within your industry? I know it's a little bit more like individual, but like within portfolio managers, like, I guess from this, like what, yeah, I don't know if that question makes sense or if I, does it kind of,
yeah, across? No, it's a great question. And it's, I would say we have come a long way. Like I remember going to meetings and going to lunches. And you know, I would be in a pantsuit and you know, a man would come and say, oh, sweetheart, would you mind grabbing me a cup of coffee? And, you know, I'm supposed to be sitting beside this man. And
yeah.
Say, you know, so I would have to practice and sort of say, you know, yeah, I would love to help you, but I'm sure the server would, you know, get you one. And then I would sit down beside them and pull out the package and, you know, have to show my space. But I really had to have my arms up a lot at the beginning. Women are more represented now for sure. I'm not the only one at the boardroom table anymore, which is really lovely. And I would say that the women in this industry, I mean, in every industry, you have your bad apples, but I have surrounded myself with really amazing women. I mean, I have really good friends and we sort of organized this. We called ourselves the Lady Brokers. And this was 25 years ago. We had all been in the business for, you know, under 2 years. And we're still, and we all work for different firms. So technically we're all competing against one another for the clients, but we were all, it's a beautiful, really supportive environment. We still reach out to each other. We've gone through marriages, divorces, deaths, kids, like the whole gamut together. And there's still a group of eight of us that really still are really, really strong. And even in my own branch, the women in the branch, we're starting to do stuff that's done that we do together. So as opposed to just me doing something, or because it was lonely when it's only one. And so it's nice to have other women at the table with you for sure. But imposter syndrome for sure was real for a long, long time because, you know, as a mom, I couldn't network like the boys could. And there is still a level of an old boys network. I would say it's dwindling a little bit. For sure. It's not like it used to be, and it is getting better and more progressive, but you know, again, as a mom, I couldn't be out networking every night and, you know, having beers with people. Like it's just that I had to network and build my business differently and smarter.
100%. I think there is still that, like, it's a boys club or, you know, that's what it was. And I think still is. And from, you know, a perspective of getting more women involved, are there any organizations? I'm not sure if they exist. I know, for example, there's like women in sports, independent organizations. Do you know of any in portfolio management?
So we have women in capital markets and we have women in, I don't know if we have women in portfolio management. We definitely have, there's some, but there's not enough.
Yeah.
There's enough, I think. And I think to sort of find your people is really key when you're starting out. And even after you've been doing it for as long as I have, I mean, the key people that I lean on for support, even when I'm having a tough conversation with the client, because some of our conversations are really tough, or sometimes, you know, people are going through really big life changes. And so it's a whole different dynamic that, you know, I might not leave my office and go talk to one of the guys down the hall. I might leave my office and go talk to another coworker who happens to be a female, and because they relate to it in the same way that I would relate to it. Or if, you know, something happens with someone's kids, like it just, you know, I hug my clients. I cry in front of my clients. I'm really vulnerable in front of my clients because my clients are also really vulnerable in front of me. So it's sort of a two-way situation, which is different.
Yeah. I think maybe from what I'm gathering, what you're saying is talking to women in portfolio management is a great way to really understand what it's like and what a career could be like. I think obviously listening to amazing podcasts like The Business Casual and conversations like this is a great way. And I think getting yourself out there and really talking to people who are in the roles that you see yourself being in is also other ways to just keep encouraging anyone that is on the fence about going into this industry, to push them to go into it.
Yeah, 100%. Cause it's, I really think it's a great industry, and because you do have a lot of freedom once you establish your clientele and you sort of figure out what you're doing. And that's a big learning curve to get there, but it's really fun once you get there.
Yeah. And shifting a little bit, talking about the future and what the future of the industry looks like. You've obviously seen it over the last two decades change a whole bunch. Do you have any insights on where you think it's going to go, or how you see this industry changing in the next decade as we kind of enter this, what seems like to me, a whole new world?
It is a whole new world for sure. I mean, when I started in this business, we were commission-based, really, primarily. And commission-based meant, you know, if you were buying 100 shares of XYZ at this price, it cost X. And the commissions weren't tax deductible, and it wasn't, it was just different. And that's really how our industry was built on. Over the last 25 years, though, for sure, we've gone much more to a wealth management focused business and much more fee-based. I've always been fee-based because it was really important to me to always be on the same side of the fence as the client. And so from that perspective, you know, it's tax deductible, it's great for the client. And, you know, I never wanted to call, Mr. Smith and say, we're going to sell XYZ and we're going to buy ABC and have them kind of wonder why we're doing it. It's in the best interest of you, in my opinion, and that's why we're going to do it kind of deal. I think going forward, though, the wealth management piece is growing even more, and especially, and oddly enough, because of the robo-advisors. So robo-advisors really, you know, you fill out the form, but there's no person at that on that other end, generally speaking. And an algorithm is choosing your asset allocation or your stocks or whatever within your portfolio. I think with the progression of software engineering and that whole industry, there is going to eventually be an app that's going to outperform me. So, you know, and I will probably fire myself if it consistently can outperform what I'm doing for my clients based on the market conditions and their risk tolerance kind of deal. However, I think the human connection is going to become even more important. So there, you know, I kind of feel like I'm a little bit of a quarterback sometimes in between the client's accountant and the client's lawyer, and, oh, we need to do an estate plan and we need to do an estate freeze and bring all those kind of people in. So the connection part, I think, is actually going to grow. And I think I will spend less time sort of choosing stocks, if that makes sense, over the next, you know, the decade or so. I think that will actually really, really change. And things are getting more complicated. I mean, people have, you know, there's extended families, there's, you know, mixed families, there's, you know, it's I think the human part is going to be much more important, but the actual stock picking part is going to go away.
I mean, I think it's evident, but you can't, obviously a robot has no emotions. They're not going to know who you are. And so I think where that like soft skill is coming in, like you were saying, the relationship part is so important, and obviously no robot's ever going to be able to mimic that. At least I hope not. I don't want to mimic that.
Yeah. I mean, I have clients that literally, you know, their spouse died in the shower in the morning. Like, you can't talk to a robot about that. And you're not going to know, you know, there are some definite soft skills for sure. Like you say, that, you know, you have to have a lot of compassion with those people because they are frozen. I mean, they are just, or, you know, the the spouse walks out and decides to get divorced, and you know, blindsides the other party. I mean, that happens. Life happens. And so I think the actual pulling in together and explaining stuff as things get more technical, as things get more complicated, and really sort of being that point person and that trusted person for an individual or a family or a company is really, really going to become even more key.
It's really interesting. Well, from my perspective and my commerce program, I touch finance a little bit, but it's definitely not my strong suit. So I didn't even know how prominent robots played in algorithms. Yeah, that makes sense. It's something new. I did not know that was such a big part of the industry.
Yeah. I mean, it's a brand new industry. And I mean, I know that, you know, there for sure are systems that are tracking it and testing it, and for good reason should be tested for quite a while before you sell it to people, but or have people invest in it. But I do kind of think that I think computers are, you know, on a lot of levels smarter than us. So, but they don't have that human connection. So that touch will be very important.
Yeah. Another quick question I had is, do you find that a lot of your clients and people you talk to on a daily basis are very in touch and educated on their finances? Maybe before, maybe like you get involved? Because I'm just curious. I mean, I know I'm only 20, but I can't say I'm very heavily involved in my finances, for example.
No, so that's a great question, because it's the whole gamut. I mean, I have clients that literally will want to know what the PE ratio is of every holding that they own. And I have clients that are just like my mom, who is just like, make sure the money's in my account at the end of the month so that all my bills are paid. And I don't care what you buy or what you own, or, I mean, she might give me some parameters, but truly, you know, jokingly said, I don't know if she can name one stock that she holds. So it was sort of like, so I said, I would buy dinner if she could name one stock, and she, you know, guessed BCE. And I was like, okay, well, that's not even a tough guess, but like literally, so it runs the gamut. Some people know a lot and are really interested, and some people are just on the surface, know what they need to know. And from my perspective, to me, it's more important, and especially with women more than men. I mean, and I know that's completely probably biased, but I've seen this more with my female clients. But sometimes, especially when they've had a huge life event, they don't really know what's happening and they don't really know where everything is. And so my advice is always sort of, you know, at least know what you have and where it is and what in some level of framework, what the level of risk tolerance that you're taking on. Because I think a lot of people sort of sometimes just go to the bank and check off the boxes, and then they kind of go, oh, I didn't realize I was taking on this risk in the market, or I didn't realize that you know, this really means that. And so you don't have to do the Canadian Securities course, and you don't have to, you know, not everybody has to know what a PE ratio is, but I think you do need to know where your money's at and what level of investment it really is. You know, because some people really don't know anything. I mean, I have clients that literally didn't even know that they had millions of dollars. Like their spouse never told them, truly.
That's better than not having millions of dollars. So that's always a good thing, but definitely.
It was a great
surprise. But obviously education is important. I think a key aspect, and regardless of your level of wealth, you should always know what your finances are and be on top of it. And especially from a female perspective, like never let anyone else organize your money.
And women are famous for abdicating the responsibility of somebody else. It's their brother-in-law or their dad took care of it, or they let their spouse take care of it, or they let, you know, their best friends has, like, it's just, and it's and truly women have been mansplained finances for years and years and years, and I think everybody has a money story, and the money story is passed on. You don't even know about it happens subconsciously as you're young, whether your parents are fighting over money or whether you can't afford this, or you were told that this was too expensive or whatever, that frames how you think of money for your life. And so to sort of bring it around and have just the knowledge and knowing, and women have been intimidated and thought that this is, you know, told that this is too complicated for them. And it's not, it's really not. I think if you are engaged and you want to know, you can learn, and you don't, it's not the be all and end all that everybody thinks is super, super complicated.
Yeah, no, it's a good reminder as always. Well, my last question for you, Catherine, is what is one piece of advice you want to leave listeners with that you wish you knew when you started your career, or that you've been given that's really stuck with you?
Stuck with me. That's a great one. Just keep going. I would say if I'd known how much fun I was going to have and just sort of dive in and, you know, I always say put my stilettos on and, you know, be a strong woman and not be afraid or intimidated in some of those boardrooms. I wish somebody had told me earlier on, just go for it, because, and don't let anybody stop you. But also, you know, go to your listeners, really also know what is in your financial realm. Like what, you know, how much credit card debt do you have? These like basic stuff that sometimes people don't even know what their mortgage payments are sometimes.
Yeah.
So know what you can know and just keep going. It's a brilliant industry. It really is. I think it's the best industry on the planet. Every day is different, and you get to do really fun things with and actually help people, like change something in their life.
Well, thank you so much, Catherine, for this very insightful conversation. I feel like I learned so much, not only about your industry and your career, but just in general about finances. So we thank you so much for taking the time to be here with us. To all of our listeners, you'll be able to connect with Catherine on her LinkedIn and find more about her career in our show notes. And we will see you next week. Thank you.
Thank you. Perfect.